Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, September 29th, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 87, the first paragraph that begins with, "We usually conclude the period of meditation." We're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Lorraine N. for the 12 Steps, Shelley E. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Dion R., Robin P., and Shelley E. The share ID for Tuesday, September 28th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,825. And this morning's Wednesday, September 29th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 17,830. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. Lorraine N., compulsive eater in Oregon. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Excuse me. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to read, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Lorraine N. Shelley E., if you'd read the 12 traditions, please.
You bet. Shelley E., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, excuse me, presently in Northern Michigan. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 87, the first paragraph that begins with, we usually conclude this period of meditation. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Dion R. If you could get us started, please.
Yes, I can. Good morning, Kathleen and everyone on the line. My name is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater. Okay, we usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask specifically for freedom from self-will and careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. And we can easily see why. Oh, some instructions and warnings in there. Well, the warning is I can't pray for myself, you know, because self got me to become graduated to be a compulsive overeater or demoted, whatever. But it was like that self-will got me. I want my way. I want what I want when I want it and how I want it. And that's got me into food and many other problems of addiction area. So to follow the instructions of after meditating, you know, and I love the part where it says, you know, meditating to me is like I'm going into a spiritual zone. You know, I'm relying on something or someone outside of myself, as the previous paragraph talked about, that conscious contact. So I'm going into a whole new level. And I remember when I first, that part, I used to try to even manipulate that. I'm sure nobody else has ever done that, but I tried to manipulate that. So, well, my kids were this when they were small, I first kind of programmer, and I'm like, I'm going to look good, stay good, so I'm going to do OA, I'm going to follow their full plan, I'm doing what they do. But they would look better in a nice-looking car, you know, and if I had a healthier and good-looking car, so I'm going to pray for that. I get to pray for that. You know what I mean? I would throw that kind of self stuff in there. And eat, sometimes work stuff done, it did, but most of the time, it didn't work. And when I did get it, it didn't last because I was only doing it for selfish ease. I wanted to look good, feel good, look like the best mom, you know, the best compulsive overeater in the room, drive it up in a nice car, yada, yada. It was always self. And material things is what got me to my demise of wanting to finally get to the end of desperation. You know, it's like, forget that. You know, I have to, now I'm here because it has to be for someone else, because if it's not for my higher power and like someone said in tradition, our primary purpose is to show the compulsive overeater still suffering, basically a way out. And I can't do that if I'm thinking I got self all up in there. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this process and allow me to share my experience, strength, and hope, and stay on this journey a day at a time. And with that, I will pass, Kathleen, and have a blessed day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dion R. Thanks for getting us started this morning. Okay, everyone, we're on page 87, the first paragraph. We usually conclude the period of meditation, commenting and reading that one paragraph only. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share, I'm ready for your name.
This is Christy. I'd like to share. Christy M.
Okay, thanks, Christy.
Veronica B.
Veronica B. This is a great paragraph. I know there's more than two of us out there. Okay, while you all muster up your courage to share, we're going to start with Christy and Veronica. So go ahead, Christy M.
Hello, this is Christy M. I'm a grateful recovering bulimic and anorexic in Oregon. And I really appreciate this step. This kind of reflection about, you know, our purpose and why we show up and why we do service. The disease of overeating and my disease with, you know, bulimia is really such a preoccupation with myself. And it's a way to control, but it really keeps me in the self. And it could really make me feel helpless or like a victim, especially the powerlessness of this disease. I think in a lot of the root of this disease is this striving for this perfect ideal and trying to, you know, become this image that really doesn't exist and not really being okay with yourself. One of the things that I know my sponsor always says to me to get me out of the self is about, you know, service, is to direct me back towards other and how I can be of use to others. And I think this is such a good message for them. Sometimes I can serve for the wrong reasons. I can serve for reasons that bring me back to self. I serve because I want someone to recognize what I'm doing and say, oh, you know, Christy's so great, or she did such a great job, or she's so giving. And so even when we're serving, I find because of my disease, it's still easy for me to slip back into self because I want those accolades. I want to be recognized. And it kind of brings me back to like the core of what this service is. It's like, it's not for me. It's not so I get lifted up, I look better. And when I'm starting to get frustrated that I'm not being recognized or, you know, celebrated for my service, like that's a good reminder to me that like my motives are wrong and that I'm kind of slipping back into my disease, thinking that I serve, I serve for my higher power. I serve to give and not to receive. And so it's just a reminder to me that even in my service, like my disease can still show up if I'm not careful. And if I'm starting to feel resentful when I'm serving, I'm starting to feel judgy, I'm starting to feel, you know, those feelings about what I'm doing, like that's a good reminder to me to just check myself and like go back to my step work and check back in, because like it really, the serving others and looking for how to be outside of ourselves, shouldn't be any expectation of something in return. It should be. Yep. So thank you. I'll wrap up and pass.
Thank you, Christy M. Thank you so much. And Veronica B., go ahead, please.
Good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. This paragraph where it talks about a period of meditation with the prayer that we be shown all through the day what is our next step to be, and that we are given whatever we need to take care of such problems, to take care of such problems. Well, for me, the problems would be self-will, selfishness, self-centeredness, right? When I think, when I try to make everything about me, this is how I used to show up in the world. Everything was about me. What are you going to do for me? That feeling of I have arrived. That was me before program. And then after coming into program and working the 12 steps and getting a God of my own understanding, today I live on a different basis. Today I live on a basis of what can I bring to every situation that I'm in? How can I be useful? My responsibility is to stay abstinent and to help other compulsive eaters obtain abstinence, right? So this is what I'm thriving for today, just for today, to do God's work today, to act in a godly manner. And I can't do it on my own. I have to ask God for help every single day. And I'm on vacation in Washington, D.C. And I'm surrounded by many people with prestigious jobs, prestigious positions. And then there's me. And I get in a lot of trouble when I start to compare myself, or when I start thinking that people aren't recognizing me or noticing me. And this is where I pause and I ask God for help. I ask God to give me patience and really be where my feet are in the day. I have to be where my feet are, because I don't want to get wrapped up in the hustle and bustle of, you know, the different attitudes. So I envision myself being in a spiritual bubble, and I've created a spiritual bubble with Overeaters Anonymous and with my higher power. And that's how I go about my day when I'm on vacation, because even on vacation, I'm a compulsive overeater, right? That will never change for me. That is my truth. And this paragraph is all about, like, slow down, ask God for help, be where your feet are, and see where you can be useful and help others. And thank you for letting me share with that. I pass.
Thank you, Veronica B. Okay, we're on page 87, the first paragraph. We usually conclude the period of meditation. And if you haven't shared on Monday and Tuesday, I'd love to hear your name and share. Who would like to
Sandy
share
K.
on this paragraph?
Sandy K. Hi, Debbie Janet. P.
I heard Debbie.
Shelley,
what was your initial, Deb?
P.
Debbie, what was your initial? P as in Paul?
Yes.
And then I heard Shelley E. Was there someone else in there?
Yes, there was. Janice K.
Janice K.
Yes.
Marie B.
Marie B. Take another name. Anyone else? Nine of five.
Caroline V.
Is it Caroline G?
Caroline V. V as in Victor.
V. Okay. Caroline. Great. Thank you. Thanks for stepping up, people. I want to hear your share. So I have Sandy K, Debbie P, Shelley E, Janice K, Marie B, and Caroline V. So go ahead, please, Sandy K.
Thank you very much. This is Sandy K from Florida. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater for today. there are many times that I am, I want things. And some of the things I want that I get turn out not to be the best thing for me, that perhaps an alternative might have been better. So an example would be a few years ago, I was looking for a place to move, and I just fell in love with a townhome. It was really what I wanted, in the area I wanted. And I put a bid in for it, and I didn't get it. And I was, like, really, really disappointed. And I said to myself, you know, I'm spinning my wheels looking for places. Let me just ask my higher power, what's the next thing I should do to find out where you want me to be? And I just turned it over. I didn't say just, because step three is not that easy sometimes. But I said, okay, what am I going to do in meditation? And I pictured where I wanted to live, but no details, just generally speaking. And I wanted trees, or I wanted water, or I prefer, you know, like a one-level townhome, or whatever it was. And eventually, with patience, God directed me to the place that I live in now, which really is perfect for me. But if I had prayed and prayed and prayed about something and gotten it, I never would have known that there was a better alternative. And that's how I use God in my life today. I just, with people, people, places, things, I can want something. I think that's normal. But trying to put a round peg in a square hole just doesn't work. So when I ask God, what should I do? He always gives me the answer. Even if I don't know what the answer looks like, I trust in my higher power. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy K in Florida. And Debbie P, you're up, followed by Shelley E. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, everyone. This is Debbie P from Indiana. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Let's see, and I'm happy to share today. What I get out of this paragraph, my sponsor is very good about telling me that I'm learning. You know, I want to beat up on myself because I don't get it yet, or I'm not getting it fast enough. But she reminds me lovingly that I'm learning. And what came to mind with this reading today for me is I've recently started a morning meditation ritual, and this would be great for me to end that ritual. I usually just open my eyes and start my day, but this will give me a few more minutes to contemplate God's will. I'm still learning how to ask for God's help during the day and to actually listen for that help. I think that's going to be a continued learning process, but this just kind of spoke to me very strongly today that I need to incorporate that into my daily routine. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Debbie P. in Indiana. And Shelley E., good morning. You're up, followed by Janice K.
Good morning, Shelley E., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, presently in Northern Michigan. Yeah, I didn't want to let this paragraph go by because I have spent a lot of time in prayer and learning to not pray for myself. I know now, what I know now is that if I'm praying for myself, I'm assuming that God doesn't have it or doesn't, he needs my input. And what I know now is he doesn't need my input. He hasn't handled and handled very well. So my prayer now is thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for another day. Thank you for your direction. Thank you for your love. Thank you for that red light, because I don't know what that red light kept me from as I'm driving in a hurry. I can say thank you, God, that my child had cancer. When I was in the midst of it, I realized that I had no control
However, I'm grateful for that time. I can thank him now for what I learned from it and for the realization that I can get through something like that with him by my side. And so this just reminds me to keep myself out of self-will, keep myself looking toward others. And even with that, if I have a sick parent, I don't pray for, I know this is, I don't know, I don't pray for the outcome that I want because I don't know the right outcome. God knows the right outcome. God has the right outcome. I pray for the ability to get through it. I pray for him to walk hand in hand with me. But even that assumes that he's not when he always is. So, yeah, I really appreciate the chance to share on this, and I hope you all have a great day. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. I forgot where you said you were, sorry. Janice K., you're up, followed by Marie B. Go ahead, Janice.
Okay. Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. Recently, I have, when I try to enter the presence, I'm living in steps 10, 11, and 12, working them to the best of my ability. And when I seek to enter the presence of my higher power lately, I find it convenient and a point of orientation to go through what I think of as the list. I pray steps 1, 2, and 3. I follow with the third step prayer. I follow with the seventh step prayer. And then I add the direct, the guide me, show me, as I call them from step 11. Guide or direct my thinking, grant that it be divorced from selfish, self-pity, and dishonest motives. Show me the next right step. And I thought that the next thing we prayed for was freedom from self-will. And when I read these paragraphs, it's like, oh boy, I got it just a tiny bit wrong. I get to add things. Oh, whoopee. I get to relearn. Thank you, God, for the opportunity. I get to stay with direct my thinking. But this paragraph has three subheadings on show me the next right step to take. First, show me the step. Second, ask that we be given what we need to take care of it. And third, free me from self-will. Oh, that is just such, you know, and I have some decisions I have to make fairly soon. And last night I just decided, you know what, I don't have to make this decision. God's going to tell me the right thing. And I am going to incorporate these two extra steps into my show me, guide me routine. I'm going to pray that God guide my thinking, that it be divorced from selfish self-pity and dishonest motives, that I be shown not only the right, next right step, but that, what, that I be given what I need to do. That I have the ability to take it, and that I am free from self-will. You know, like everyone else in program, I have read these paragraphs and read them and read them, and I don't know how these words snuck in here today, but they did. I hadn't seen them before, and I'm very, very glad. I'm very glad to receive this gift. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. in Oregon. And Marie B., you're up, followed by Caroline Z. Go ahead, Marie.
Hi, this is Marie B., recovering compulsive overeater. Thank everyone for their service and for these great shares this morning. I am actually in the middle of the fifth step right now, but I've had a consistent morning prayer for decades now, and when I think back to my 20s and my prayer life then, it was such a slot machine, like, you know, oh, you know, please make this happen or please make that happen. And the immaturity, I don't know, I just so grateful for this program and the growth that I've had, because my prayer life now is so entirely different. In the morning, first of all, let me say I'm one of those people who makes these long to-do lists. I've done this forever, and it's usually a brain dump. None of it gets done. Well, actually, it does get done eventually, but what I've found since I've been working on my morning prayer is the first thing I do is, before I even ask what my next step is I practice gratitude. I just put myself in that, in God's light and thank God for everything that I have. And I do get specific there, but I just want my heart to be in the right place. And then I ask with that gratitude what my next step should be. One thing I have missed, and I just picked up on in this reading this morning, I've always thought it was, what is my next step to be, which means when I finish my prayers, what's the first thing I do for the day? What I missed was all through the day. And I've got to go back and think about that, because maybe I finish the first thing and then ask what the next thing might be. I'm not sure. But I'm grateful that this came up today, because I totally missed it. And then the other thing, now when I pray for other people, and I do, I'm a huge believer in prayer, I don't ask for the outcome. I ask to give that person the strength and faith they need as God's will is fulfilled. And I ask that for myself too. And then I ask how I can be of service. Maybe a phone call, maybe a visit or a task, whatever that might be. And I'm still growing in my prayer life, but I will say that my morning prayer time has just changed my life exponentially. And yes, I still have the big to-do list, and I do get to cross things off, but it doesn't have that importance to me anymore. It really, my morning prayer time really guides my life, and now I know throughout the day I should, keep asking what my next step is. And I don't know, I'm just so grateful for this program, and I'm grateful for this morning routine. So God bless all of you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Marie B. And Caroline, before I take you, just a reminder to everyone that we are on page 87, the first paragraph that begins with, "We usually conclude the period of meditation." And I'll be taking some more names to share on this paragraph after Caroline Z. So go ahead, please, Caroline.
Hi, Caroline V, compulsive overeater, bulimic. I didn't want to share, but I realized that I have not been really active in meetings. So grateful for today's meeting and for the reading. It's quite interesting. I have been practicing a morning ritual, and I think for me, step three was the most important step for my program. That's where I saw the biggest shift. Of course, the other steps as well, but I think changing the attitude of "I can fix it all, I am in charge" is really what has brought me serenity. But yeah, I've been praying and writing and meditating every morning, and it's really, I've kind of doubled down on that this month because things were starting to get wonky, and now I find myself pulling away from this meditation and finding it's harder for me to concentrate. So it's interesting how I guess the repetitiveness of just doing it anyway is the key, but I'm finding it quite difficult right now. And I'm praying to God right now to show me what is causing this and what I can do. I have some suspicions as to why my brain is all over the place, but it's difficult. I don't get this intuitive thought right away, but I'm practicing, and it's definitely 100 times better than what it used to be, where I would realize what my problem was a year later, whereas now I just need a week. But I'm really grateful for this practice. And I know that program isn't only the morning meditation, and that's probably why things have become a little more agitated and less concentrated, because that is not the only tool. But I do want to, not sure where I'm going with this chat, with this share, but yeah, just grateful for the program, the fellowship, and the whole saying of keep coming back, even though it's not perfect. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline D. Okay, if you have not shared Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share this morning, we'd love to hear your share on page 87, the first paragraph. We usually conclude the period of meditation, and I'm ready for some names.
Mary Ellen P.
Mary Ellen, was it P as in Paul?
T as in Tango.
T as in Tango, okay.
Amy M.C.
Amy M.C. I can take a couple more. We're on page 87, the first paragraph.
Elaine B.
Elaine B.
Michelle F.
Okay.
Barbara W.
Okay. I'm not sure we're going to get to you, Barbara, but we'll keep you in that lineup. We may. Okay. I have Mary Ellen T., Amy M. C. Thank you. Elaine B., Michelle F., and Barbara W. So go ahead, Mary Ellen. Star one to unmute, Mary Ellen. Okay.
Hi there, can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Good morning, my name is Mary Ellen T, and I live in Corvallis, Oregon, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Recovered by the grace of God, and that's part of what I really learned about my recovery journey is that, that this is about becoming closer and closer to my higher power and learning that my recovery journey is no longer about the food and being abstinent. While that remains an important premise in my recovery, it is so much more important that I have a relationship with my higher power and that I'm practicing what has been shared in the Big Book about the basic tenets of how am I being honest with myself and with higher power and with others and recovery? How am I open to being guided and directed to acting in a way and believing in a different way, which means no longer believing in myself and in self-reliance and recognizing that those are my pitfalls. And the other basic tenet that's taught to us in the Big Book is willingness. And I think that willingness, I see it in every step of these 12 steps, that I got to have that willingness. And how, with my practice of waking up in the morning time and meditating and getting on my knees and thinking, I call my higher power Mama. And as I think Mama every morning, that I have this beautiful gift of recovery, and that I know her and that she's in my life, and that I have this relationship that's been built over these years of learning about my powerlessness. And how can I show up today in life? What is that relationship ideal? How can I be of service? And how can I really learn to recognize when I'm in self-reliance and being able to turn around and ask for help and have an interaction with another fellow or another human being to help me get outside of myself so I can show up and be of service to other people. And I just wanted to share kind of what my recovery journey in this paragraph means for me. That's it. I pass.
Thank you, Mary Ellen T. in Oregon. And Amy M.C., you're up, followed by Elaine B.
Hi, this is Amy MC calling from Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, everyone who is of service today on this call, Team Wednesday. And I'm not really quite sure what God wants me to share on this paragraph, but I am home on maternity leave. I have a one-month-old as of Sunday, and I wanted to be able to call into the meeting and share, you know, as often as I can. And I feel like the first 3 weeks, you know, I really couldn't do that. And maybe the past 2 weeks or so, I have been able to, by the grace of God. And, you know, going to the paragraph and to the discussion for today, step 11 is definitely my favorite. And I have, before program, I always had a relationship with God. And when I hit my bottom in the food, I wrote God off. I remember being like, all right, enough. Like, you know, I'm not praying anymore. You're not taking this weight off of me. You're not helping me, you know, not finish this box or bag of food and snacks. And, you know, where's my self-control? You're not helping me have self-control and not buying, you know, the sugar gum and chewing it and spitting it out and chewing it and spitting it out. And, you know, it was the hardest time of my life, not praying and not going to God, not having a spiritual connection. And, you know, fast forward to program. And when I came into OA and I heard the steps and I started going through the steps, even in traditional OA, you know, I felt so, so connected and so grateful that there was a spiritual peace to program. And, you know, instantly I remember, you know, asking for God's forgiveness and continuing to show me the way. And, you know, since then, step 11 has always been a part of my daily practice. And I will admit it ebbs and flows, right? Life on life's terms gets really messy sometimes with my morning meditation. And, you know, relationships, my husband recently, you know, expressed his need for more attention. And, you know, I put our daughter to bed and early, and then I get up early and do program, and I'm not spending any time with him. And so it's been really tricky. And, you know, through this meeting and other strong meetings as well, and hearing other people's experience, strength and hope just reminds me of how important my morning meditation is. And I think it was just yesterday, listening to somebody share and just having that conversation with God as soon as I wake up and asking, thank you, I'll wrap up, and asking for direction in the day and starting with upon awakening, which I continue to do. And sometimes I nod back off and fall back asleep and have to do it again. But I'll close by saying, you know, one thing that continues to help me stay connected is setting reminders on my phone just every hour, every couple of hours, like, you know, for me to just have a little timer go off on my phone or a little alarm and to just check in with God so I can stay in conscious contact with God. And with that, I will pass. Thank you again for letting me share.
Thank you, Amy MC in Massachusetts, and congratulations on your little baby. Okay, Elaine B., you are up, followed by Michelle F. Go ahead, Elaine.
Thank you very, very much for your service. It was nice to follow. This is Elaine B., recovered in Massachusetts also. It was nice to hear Amy and her baby, because what I think about with my Step 11 work, what I think about with my higher power, I love that somebody said, I call mom, I call it dad, but and, you know, sometimes I have other names for my wonderful higher power, but we're talking about building a relationship. You know, I love that when we start step four, it says, when we straighten out spiritually, we straighten out mentally and physically. And so, you know, we need to continue to develop this relationship, and we need to continue to, I need to continue to build this relationship. And not just in the morning during my meditation time, it's all throughout the day that I'd be given whatever I need to take care of the issues that come up, that I'd be directed for what my next step is to be. that I'd be free from self-will, because that really was my problem. What I've learned in my hinge pin of all my 10 and 11 nightly reviews that I've learned from the inventory process is the hinge pin is always that one question. You know, I have a fear. I'm trying to get my way. I'm going to lose what I want or not get what I want, you know, lose what I have or not get what I want. And the hinge pin is, am I trusting, relying on infinite God, or am I trusting, relying on my finite self? And so I need freedom from my self-will every single day. It's very easy for me to just try to pick up the script that I think not just me should follow and, you know, run the show. And that's not what I'm here for anymore. And in working on this relationship, that I have a loving higher power that knows everything about everybody, past, present, and future, that I'm able to connect with in the morning during this morning meditation, and pulling out these beautiful prayers and instructions that include all throughout the day, which we'll be reading in another day or two, actually 2 days, that God wants to be there to help me with my problems, with those things that are eating me, so that I don't have to eat to stuff them down because I don't have a solution. I think I should. I get in there and make a mess. Things are worse than they were. So I love this relationship. And I love that I'm guarded by rereading and restudying this, that this is not about me getting what I want, my selfish ends, you know, a thin-sized body and this house in order and that paycheck or whatever. I've really shifted to just wanting to be close to my higher power. So these are beautiful life building and relationship building exercises if we do them. So I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Elaine B. in Massachusetts. And Barbara W., I'm sorry, we're not going to have time for you, but Michelle F., if you want to do just a 2-minute share, that would be great.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm Michelle F. from Massachusetts also. Thank you, everybody, who made this meeting possible today by doing service. I wasn't sure what I was going to share, but I guess I'll just say I've noticed a subtle change in that it used to really bug me, this paragraph, because it went against my beliefs, sort of. And I don't have that anymore. I actually get a lot of comfort from the part that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. I love when I read that part. It reminds me I'm going to be given everything I need, and that helps me relax. And I'm trying not to request for myself only. It's tough. I'm selfish. Even just saying, please help me, you know, get up out of bed, can seem selfish, but I realize I need help to be of service. I need help to show up and do my part. So I'm comforted by that sentence as well. We can ask for ourselves if others may be helped. I wasted a lot of years not even praying at all, just like, I guess, hoping for this long laundry list of wants. And I'm grateful to not do that anymore today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle F. in Massachusetts. Okay. And thank you, everyone who stepped up to share this morning. Really wonderful shares. Really helpful to everyone. I'm sure it was helpful to me. So we are going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Robin P., would you please read a vision for you?
Yes, hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica, and I apologize. I am trying to find the reading here, and I'm having trouble on my phone. Could somebody else take over?
I have it right here if you'd like, Kathleen.
Oh, no,
this is Elaine.
I apologize. I just found it. Sorry.
Okay.
I just found it. Sorry.
Thank you. Thanks, Elaine. Go ahead, Robin.
Thanks, Elaine. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regress the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole outlook and attitude upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Amen. Oh, that's the wrong reading. Oh, my gosh. I am so sorry. Well, maybe it was meant to be.